Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Chris Jones, who's an entrepreneur, coach, speaker, and best-selling author. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike.
Hey, I see in your bio it starts off saying you are a high-energy entrepreneur. Well, I guess so. With all of those things, coach, speaker, best-selling entrepreneur, it's like, yes, you need to be high-energy to accomplish all these things. And I want to dive into what you do and how you do it and who you serve and all about your book release as well. So get us started with your story. Tell us a little bit about your background and your entrepreneurial journey to this point in your career.
Sure. Yeah, so entrepreneur since... Gosh, I've never had a real job, I joke. I started my first business at 21 while still in university. I invented a football glove for receivers, so had all sorts of fun watching the Super Bowl this weekend. And I invented a high grip glove that was helped me catch the ball better. Joke, I couldn't catch very well, so I created a better mousetrap. And that kind of launched that business. And one thing led to the next, and I eventually... morphed that company into a distribution business. So I sourced cool high-end brands from all over the world and became the Canadian head office for those brands. So high-end medical grade compression socks for athletes, really amazing running shoes for, you know, called Ultra. We did a sport earphone. We did a portable net company called Bonet, like soccer, baseball, lacrosse, football nets, hold them up your car, drive away, all sorts of different fun brands. And, you know, I've been doing that for a long time. We launched about 20 brands with that company.
Wow.
Into the market in Canada. And in a way, kind of perpetual startup mode, as we're constantly developing, testing and playing and building brands. Had some good successes on the way. We developed like 4 brands, the number one market share in their category in Canada. And so I had lots of fun stories there. And screwed lots of stuff up too. It's like to say, I got a lot of valuable battle scars from my time there. And you know, at one point I kind of recognized I was the linchpin in the business. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've created a job, not a business.
Yeah.
And I've got a degree in entrepreneurship, and I'm like, I got to fix this, right? It got me here. That's fine. But that can't be the story going forward. And so I had this dream to create a business that ran on its own without me. And I collected a dividend and started other companies. And so I'm like, oh, I need a system. So it's not about me. Tried a bunch of systems, read a bunch of books, went to a bunch of seminars, and man, I screwed it up big time. Did not work. Eventually read this book Traction by Gino Wickman, and in it he teaches the EOS system, the entrepreneurial operating system. Like, holy smokes, this is really good. This is what I've been looking for. And so we implemented those tools into my business. And I guess it was really clear to me that I wanted 2 very specific things out of the company at that point. I wanted the business to grow it so it could stand on its own 2 feet without me. And secondly, freedom. I wanted to go start other companies. So I'm like, I'm really going to like try and achieve that dream of the self-managing, self-running company. And so, you know, we went on that journey to implement those tools in our business, and kind of worked. We grew 7 times in revenue in like 2.5 years.
Oh yeah, kind of.
And I went from, it worked well. And I went from working full-time, being the linchpin, to only working 3 hours a month. So I delegated and fired myself from every active role in the business till I had none, other than a guide advisor to the leadership team running. Mm-hmm. So yeah, down to 3 hours a month. It was bliss. So kind of coached from the sideline for 3 years and guided them for 3 years. And then I'm like, you know, I'm gonna sell, I'm gonna exit the business. And I sold the company, a good sale of the business in 2018, and that was a cool journey. And in the meantime, yeah. I started up other companies. I started up a practice, a coaching speaker business, author business, and it's just over 8 years now, and helping people implement EOS. I became a coach of those tools. I loved them so much, and wrote my first book last year and do keynotes and workshops and stuff. So that's like the super fast version there.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, a couple of the recurring threads through that introduction that I kept hearing was you made some mistakes, you screwed up, you learned from them. And I think that's kind of what it's all about, to go, you know what, I kept putting one foot in front of the other. I found a solution that worked, EOS, which we want to talk about here in a little bit. But then you started applying it, and keyword applying, implementing, right? Because knowing about something is one thing, but doing something about it is a whole different story. Then you started replacing yourself and guiding your company, going, you know, just keep on keeping on. And that's awesome. So, what did you find through that journey was your kind of driving force to help you realize this is knowledge that I'm getting about how to scale and grow? Now I need to implement it. What kept you motivated to doing that?
I think for me, it was really defining what success was for me.
Yeah.
And so success for me was that the business ran as well or better without me than it did with me. And so then I became really crystal clear that I needed to be a really good coach, that I needed to be replaceable in my own business, that I needed to build my teammates, and that it wasn't about me. Right. We needed good systems in place. We needed a strong vision that was not just created by me and rammed down their throats. It was created collectively so that when I left, it was about them achieving their vision, not achieving my vision.
That kind of is a hit to the pride, isn't it? A lot of people would hear that and go, yeah, but it's my baby. I built it and it's me and it's all about me and I need to be the one that's, you know, getting the accolades. But it really, it takes that swallowing your pride to get to that level.
Well, it really started with the definition of success and realizing that I tried being the hero and that was not a journey I enjoyed. Like, I didn't want to be the go-to for all decisions.
Yes.
And because then I'd be chained to that business forever. And I'm like, look, the elevated hero is a coach. And so the next level is a coach, and the coach isn't needed every minute of every day.
Yeah.
And so that clarity of what I wanted going forward led me to, the success was, well, if I'm an amazing coach, then I'm not needed. So in some ways it's an ego down, but I don't know if it really was, because I succeeded in what I set out to do. So to me, I think there's always a little bit of ego in achieving what we've set out to do. Yep. And so for me, I did that. So I'm just like, I just wasn't the person that got every phone call every day.
Yep. Right.
And which is what I wanted.
So, you know, you think about what's the highest and best use of your time. The highest and best use of your time is not answering that phone call, doing the bookkeeping, doing the minutia, but you liked the 30,000 foot view vision of it. So you just kept stepping back and stepping back. So that's a huge revelation. And I think that too many times you also mentioned a key point that I feel is key. You know, at some point you've realized you just had another job. You're reporting to yourself. You know, don't you want to be an entrepreneur to have that freedom and have a business, not just another job? So once you start having those realizations through EOS, I see in the book, it's like, you know, learn from mistakes. Well, I'm sure that you were implementing some things and making mistakes at the same time. So is that kind of what the focus of the book is here's where I've been, here's the mistakes, here's some of the things that I did right, and here's where you can learn from them?
A little bit. Yes, part of it. Yeah, the big mistake, the big catastrophe in Relentless AF is about the moment of crisis that was life-changing for me in the business and ultimately my larger life, and it all ties into this journey of delegation I'll tie it back in a minute. But I lost 70% of my business overnight.
Hmm.
One conversation, poof, it was gone.
Wow.
It was a rough spot. People were relying on me for their livelihood, including my family and two kids, wife and two kids, and other families and people in my business. And I'm like, holy smokes, we are in a whole world of trouble. And so the journey to recover that, luckily I had some unbelievably good mentors along the way leading up to that moment. And I could see it coming. Like, I'd talk to my mentors. I'm like, well, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this relationship will come to an end. And they said, well, what's your game plan? And so I gave them I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And they're like, I call BS. The next time we meet, I want to see a written game plan, including a budget, a people plan, an action plan, and we'll review it next meeting. I'm like, okay. So I went and did my homework and built out this plan B. He looked it over, reviewed it, drilled me on a couple things. I went back, tightened it up a little bit, and filed it away. Well, probably 18 months later, that conversation happens. Boom, it's over. And I joke, I was in need of a plexectomy. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
A plexectomy is when you get a piece of plexiglass installed in your stomach. So when your head's up your ass, you can see where you're going.
Oh.
And so I was in a world of pain. I was not seeing straight, right?
At that point, did you remember that plan that your mentor had encouraged you to make?
I was flying back from the meeting and I'm like, wait a second, where's that plan?
Yeah.
And there were 100 decisions made in that plan.
Yeah.
And 98 of them were good.
Yeah.
And so they were made with a clear head, no emotions involved, and just, this is what we're going to do. Two of them were not right given the circumstances. So I had to make two decisions instead of 100. So holy smokes, was that of value. And then had some good coaching. And then the way I approached that crisis was life-changing, quite frankly, for me. And in 2.5 years, we set a revenue record by 50%. We were bigger than we'd ever been. Mm. And it was 20 months. No, it was not even 2 years. We were under 20 months and we broke a revenue record, crushed it. And I was like, holy smokes, that worked really insanely well. And so I had done some journaling at the time and I went back and I documented the process that I kind of went through to recover from that crisis because it worked so well. I'm like, I got to write about this. And then as I finishing up the manuscript, COVID happens. 40% of my business walks out the door again. And I was energized by the whole process. I'm like, there is so much opportunity in crisis. And then I've learned when other people are running and hiding, I'm going to be the guy that stands up and says, it's okay. This is going to be okay. We're going to figure this out. This, as strange as it is, yes, there's people dying. This isn't healthy. But there's a ton of good that's going to come from this. And I was that guy that's like, guys, it's okay. Follow me. I got away. We're going to get through this. There's going to be more positive than negative that comes from this. Let's go. And so I put this crisis recovery mode into action again. And lo and behold, it worked. And we set a revenue record in 20 and grew again in 21 and another record in 22. And we're on pace to break again in 23. And so I put it to the test again and it worked again. So I put another chapter in the book of like, by the way, it happened again. And I put it again.
BTW, this still works. So,
yeah, it still works. Yeah. And
that's
so
amazing.
So I share the entrepreneurial story in the book and the crazy things that happened, what made me as an entrepreneur. Everyone has a different path to being an entrepreneur. And I shared a little of that. I share the crisis recovery story and I share a bunch of leadership lessons learned, different tools and stuff that I learned that were really helpful to me on the way. And how I was able to delegate stuff. And that's not an easy journey to learn to let go so you don't hurt my baby, right? Because there's a fear around that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask questions at the end of every chapter of like, okay, so here's the recap of the chapter. We call it Let's Check the Replay. And then I ask, what are the growth exercises? And I'm like, okay, Mike, you know, this chapter was about delegation, how to let go. How's that showing up for you right now in your life? Where are you struggling to let go? Why is that? And ask like these deep reflective questions that kind of take everybody and guide them on their own journey of self-growth.
Mm. Have you ever heard of or read the book, The Road Less Stupid?
I bought it just recently, but yeah, I've not read it yet.
I'm going through it now. And one of the key points is that he makes is take thinking time. Don't get so busy that you just are going mile a minute. Literally, and he says, I've got a chair in a separate part of my house or office, and I go in that and I do nothing except think. I've got a pad and paper. Oh, that's it. And so that reminded me of what you were saying at the end of your chapters. If you can take those stimulators there and sit down and think and go, I'm not on my computer, I'm not on my phone, I'm taking whatever time, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever the time frame, and those things from your past successes, your past failures, your formula for success, and go, ooh, how is this for me? And I think those are just such huge opportunities that people miss. With your, I guess you would check the box and say, yes, I'm a serial entrepreneur, because it sounds like you are just always got something going. So what's new and exciting and on the horizon for you currently / next? Not that you are, going, oh, well, I'm going to leave this dangling and you leave everything tied up in a nice bow and hand the baton off. But what are you looking at here in the future?
I got two very exciting things happening right now. The first one is the keynotes and talks that are coming out of the book, right? And one of the lanes that I've chosen to talk about is how to let go and still sleep at night. You know, I delegated every single role of what I did. And then as an EOS implementer, I've coached more than 55 teams, 450 full-day sessions. I've watched leaders struggle to let go. And so I'm doing keynotes and workshops on that content. Yeah, that how to let go, still sleep at night. I'm super excited about that. And the second thing I'm really excited about is, so in EOS language, there's an integrator. So visionaries, big ideas, guys like me, 20 ideas a week, 19 of them are crap. And the integrators help us filter those ideas and execute better. Mm. Visionaries get bored in the weeds, and integrators are amazing. Masters of execution. So Frankie is this guy that I worked with for 12 years in the sporting goods business, and he was pivotal in my growth. And our ability to execute the EOS system would have died on the vine if it had been up to me, because I would have changed my mind 3 weeks later. It's like, I got this new thing. Let's do that. And said, forget about that.
Shiny object syndrome.
And he was like, no. Right. Every entrepreneur, it's one of our gifts and one of our curses is that excitement about new ideas. And he's like, no, we're going to keep doing this. And he helped me get it across the finish line. So it became part of the well-oiled machine that allowed it to be sold ultimately and run without me. And so we had such a great time working together. We stayed in touch. And he's recently come over and is working with me again. We're getting the band back together. And he's joined up with forces with me again, and we are, he's become an EOS implementer.
Neat.
And so just to work with someone that I care that much about, to help him on this journey that's changed my life, to help him coach others. And he's a brilliant coach and teacher. And, I just, before our call was with him again, and it is just, fills me with joy to help him on this journey and see the impact that he can make and share. He's like, Chris, I'm not an entrepreneur. How can I teach that? I'm like, are you kidding? You're more successful at managing people than I ever was.
Yeah, you've got elements that I don't have.
Absolutely. So there's going to be things that you're going to be a better coach in those things, because he had to coach me how to manage my people, because I was quite frankly horrible at it. He is so gifted at that stuff. So, and he helped me implement EOS from day one. So he,
but yet
got
he
that
couldn't do of, anything of what you are gifted at. So what a good synergy that is.
Amazing, right? And it's why we were such a good visionary integrator pair, and why we've talked almost every month, and we haven't worked together since 2015 on a daily basis. But we've talked almost every month ever since, and we're just close, right? And eventually it's like, dude, you got to come over and do this. You'll be amazing at this.
Neat.
And so, yeah, that's an exciting thing for me right now.
That's awesome. Well, I just loved hearing your journey, your story, and successes and learning from the failures, because you know the old saying, you probably know this one, Chris, you either win or you, and people go, lose. Nope. You win or you learn. And so
learn. Like, and I think that's what Jalen Hurts said.
I don't even know where. I just have heard it over and over again, but it sounds like you have learned and implemented from those little dips in your past.
I call it tuition.
Yep. Yeah, the school of hard knocks tuition.
Tuition we paid. I spent a lot of money on tuition in my lifetime.
You know it. Well, and you would like to give a little scholarship grant to people by reading your book and learning from your mistakes, and that can be their tuition to not make the same mistakes and spend as much money or time or effort or angst. So what's the best way that someone can learn more about you, pick up your book, and reach out and connect with you?
So my website, relentlesschrisjones.com, is where you can get in touch with me. You can see the link to my book there, The Relentless AF, my first book, will be there, of course, also available on Amazon, of course. And you can download the first chapter on our website for free. And then there's also links to my coaching services with the EOS implementation world, and happy to have a conversation one way or the other, how I could participate and help you from a coaching standpoint, or even if you're looking for a great keynote speaker, energetic, been there, done that entrepreneur that's willing to share a few lessons, share the vulnerability, and share a pathway forward to help your team, you know, let go and still sleep well at night.
That sounds awesome. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a real pleasure talking with you and learning from you.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me on.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.